We've been working through the book of James these last few weeks. We come to chapter 2 today. Some people think that James is a little bit lightweight as one of the books of the Bible. In fact, some of the big theologians think it shouldn't even be there. I disagree. I think it's a wonderful book. But I think he's lightweight on the theology. He's not. He's quite strong on the theology. He's writing to people who are strong on their theology, who understand their doctrine, and so he's not going to go all over it again. For James, he says, you've already got the Old Testament, you've got the Gospels, you've got Paul's letters and John's letters, you've got all that. But theology needs to be seen and worked out in the way that we live. Our belief needs to be seen in our behaviour. Our faith is nothing if it's not seen in action. And so James doesn't spend much time in the theology. He says, you've got that. You've got your doctrines. You've just been singing about it. You've been singing these great songs of theology. You proclaim it. He says, so if you proclaim it, if you really believe it, you're going to live differently. It's going to be seen in who you are. Jesus said exactly this. A tree is known by its fruit. So James isn't saying anything new, but he starts to unpack the theology of what it means. And so in James chapter 2, we begin with this phrase, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. That's the statement of theology. You believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. That's all he says, because he assumes, hey, you've been pronouncing this stuff for years. You've been singing it. You've got it written up in your doctrines. You've got it all there. But let me just unpack it a little bit for you and explain what it means to believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. I'll try to do it quickly, but I'm going to start in Genesis 1. Okay. Just to warn you. Genesis 1 essentially tells us that we were all of us, created in the image of God. Genesis 2, we hear the creation story again, but this time it's a little different. In Genesis 2, we find that God creates a human being just for relationship with God. The human exists just with God, and they walk together and they talk together in perfect relationship. And God looks and sees that human being and says that they need more. And so creates nature, trees and plants and a garden, and then animals, for that human being to relate to care for and nurture nature. And in return, nature gives food and shelter. This beautiful relationship with all of creation, everything in balance and harmony. That God looks and sees the person there in the garden, in relationship with God, and says, but it's not good, you know the line, not good for man to be alone. And so God creates another person. And the Bible says Adam looks when Eve is there and says, at last, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Adam sees my equal, someone that's equal to me. Someone that's not above me, someone that's not below me, but someone who is my equal and in perfect relationship. And this is this beautiful picture of Genesis 2 of creation, created in perfect relationship with God, perfect relationship with creation, perfect relationship with each other. But it doesn't stay there. Through a desire for more and a rebellion against God, there's the fall. And Genesis chapter 3 describes three things that happen. The first thing that happens is the people are scared of God. Not perfect relationship anymore with God. They are scared, they hide from God. Scared from God. That relationship is broken. Their relationship with nature is broken. From then on, God says, nature will fight against you and you will try to exploit nature. That's the nature of humans, exploiting nature, destroying nature and battling with nature. Anyone who's a gardener knows we're always trying to pull out weeds and deal with all of those sorts of things to make things grow. It's a battle. And the relationship between people is destroyed as well. God says part of the curse, some people will try to manipulate others and others will use violence against the manipulators. And we know domestic violence affects 1 in 3 women in Australia. This is the curse. Relationships are broken. These three things. In fact, they leave the garden, and the very first thing we see is sibling rivalry that leads to violence and leads to murder. Jesus came to set all things right. We sometimes limit the gospel as if it's just about making us right with God. That's the first thing. It's absolutely right that Jesus came and by his life and his suffering and his death and his resurrection makes us right with God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "For all who believed in him, believed in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." Restored into right relationship with God. Romans 8 verse 1 says that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is given to us and gives us the witness within ourselves that we are children of God. And the writer of the Hebrews makes it even clearer. He says we can come boldly into the very throne room of God, boldly, no longer scared of God, but boldly, right up to the very throne of God. Because we are his children. We are restored into relationship with God. He calls us his children and loves us dearly. That's the first action, but it's not just there. It also, by Jesus' life and death and resurrection, restores nature. Also in Romans 8, let me read it to you. It says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. That the creation itself would be liberated from its bondship to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God." Nature made right. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Jesus restores nature. Part of his work is the restoration of nature. All things will be made right and our relationship with nature will be restored. It's still to happen fully, but we start to make it happen now. And thirdly, our relationship with each other is restored. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Relationships are restored. Jesus says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and love your neighbour as yourself." Our relationships are restored. We can come boldly and courageously in love with each other. No longer fighting with each other. No longer trying to manipulate each other. No longer trying to hurt each other, but in love. That's the command. And James calls that the royal command, the royal rule. Love your neighbour as yourself. So if you believe in the Lord, the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, says James, it will make a difference in how you live. You've been put right with God. You've been put right with nature and you've been put right with other people. Therefore, live differently. No discrimination. We don't judge people. James says this in a little strange way. He talks about a rich man and a poor man coming into our church. And he says, "You fall all over the rich man and tell the poor man, stay over there where we can't smell you." And he says, no. All are created in the image of God. All are God's children. And the way that we overcome these stigma, the discrimination that's within our hearts, our own prejudice, is that we preference the poor person. The way we overcome it is by deliberately going out of our way for the person who previously was discriminated against. It sounds like we're giving preference. We are. But we're giving preference in order to overcome the disparity. For all are created equal. All are in God's image. All are God's children. Let me explain this God's children part to you. It's Father's Day, so I can get little bit of Father's Day bragging, can I? I have four children and I love them dearly and I'm very, very proud of them. One is here today, it's Chloe. Jared actually said this morning, you're preaching today, you're going to mention me. And I said, no, it's all about Chloe today. So I love Chloe, absolutely love her. She's my baby, she's my youngest. And I'm so proud of her. Now, those of you who know me well, I've probably mentioned Chloe to you, right? I just want you to get to know her. Because if you get to know her, you'll love her too, right? And those of you who know her are nodding your head, right? Of course we love her, right? Because she's my daughter. And if you love me, you're going to love the ones that I love. And I love Chloe, and I want you to get to know her too. That's how God sees you. And the person that walks in the door, he says, that's my child. Oh, if you knew everything they'd been through like I did, like I do. If you knew all that would happen in their life. If you knew every detail like I knew, you wouldn't be able to help it. You'd love them too. Get to know them. That's my precious child, whom I love. As if they're the only person in the universe. Come, love them too. That's what God is like. He looks and he says, hey, this is my child whom I love. If you get to know them, you'll love them too. Please love them too. Yeah? You understand the Father heart of God. We are the children of God, brought into his family. And so I could tell you a father's heart. I love it when my kids are getting on together, they do, when they are together and loving each other. I love that. I feel like, oh, that's my family. Look, they're loving each other. I love those kids. I love it when they love each other. That's what God looks at. And the thing that breaks a father's heart is when the kids are not getting on. Yeah. And God looks and says, love my family. James says, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that means you'll love his family because he's made it all right, brought us together. There are three things that stop us from loving all people, three things that get in the way, three that I can work out anyway. You might come up with some more. One is our hurts. We've all been hurt, haven't we? All right. We all have hurts from the past. Some of us, those hurts are a bit like paper cuts, but some of us here, those hurts are really deep. They cut really, really deep. And for some of us, we've been hiding those hurts for so long that they've become part of who we are. And those hurts are such that we are scared of letting someone else in because they might hurt us again. We are protecting ourselves from being hurt even more. Yeah. And so because of that, we are very ginger about other people. We don't love them because we're scared of loving them because of our hurts. That's the first reason. Like a caged animal. You know, you watch those documentaries, those vet documentaries, and there's a wild animal that's been caught in a trap and the vets come to rescue the animal, and all the animal can do is scratch and spit and try to bite them, the very people that are trying to save them. And the people saving them says, they're just doing what they're hurt. Of course they're kicking and screaming and trying to hurt me. From their hurt that they're trying, they don't really know that we're trying to save them and rescue them. That's what we are like when we have hurts, and we all have hurts. The second reason why, and it's related, we don't always love other people and we discriminate is because we feel inferior ourselves. Some of you may know the show, remember the TV show Keeping Up Appearances? This is a classic case of it, where Mrs. Bouquet puts other people down in order to make herself look important, and it makes great comedy, but in real life it's really sad. We want to make ourselves look a bit better because we don't feel like we're complete, and we want others to know that actually, no, I'm good. And we do it by pushing others away and trying to get in with the in crowd. By the way, the in crowd never really exists, but we try to get in with the in crowd, and we try to show others, I'm better than you, because of our own feelings of inferiority. The third reason why we might not love others is sometimes we think of it as selfishness, but it's because we've got nothing left. But we feel like we don't have enough to give. What if they ask for money? I don't have enough money to give them. Then there won't be anything left for me. What if they ask for my time? Time's limited, you know. They're going to take all my time and then I've got nothing left. They're going to ask for my love and I don't have that much love to go around. I've only got this much. And we come and say, there's not enough to go around. I'll just keep it for myself. I love the story from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You know, a dad doesn't think like that. Well, there's not enough food here for the whole family. I'll keep mine over here. The dad says, a good dad says, you eat first. All right. That's love. But we think, oh, there's not enough. And we hoard. All of these are answered in our beliefs. Remember, James says, our belief is shown in behaviour. You might say you believe something, but I'll look at your behaviour and I can tell you what you believe. You say you believe in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, but I can see by your behaviour that you're not loving people. That must mean you don't really believe in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Our beliefs always are shown in our behaviour, not the ones we say we believe, but our actual beliefs. That first belief that I'm hurt and I need to protect myself. When Jesus died for us, he died not just for our sins, he died for our hurts. He took away the sin that we committed, but also the sins that were committed against us. He redeems us fully. He is our healer. Listen to what Isaiah says about it in Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. I've got to go up earlier. Surely he took up our pain, he bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Sometimes that healing takes a while because the pains, the hurts, the wounds are so deep. But when we accept Jesus, when we believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, he heals us. We don't have to worry about being hurt again. For the wonderful healer will heal us and take that pain away. And sometimes that's a long work, but we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. The second one about feeling inferior, that's a total misunderstanding of who we are in Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are children of God. There is no higher state than that. Nobody is above me. Nobody is superior to me. I am a child of God. And so are you. I'm not saying that to say I'm superior to you. I'm saying you're not superior to me. We're equal. There's nothing you can do to drag me down because God says I am his child. So I don't have to pretend. I don't have to try to get in with the in crowd. I already am the in crowd. I don't have to put you down to make me feel better. I am better. And so are you. And so I can come boldly to you. I don't have to feel inferior. I don't have to try to build myself up. Jesus has declared me a child of God. And because of that, I don't have to prove anything, nor do you. We can love boldly. And what about when I don't have anything left? Friends, I want to tell you that burnout is real. I know because I've experienced it. It's real. Comes a time sometimes when we just don't have anything left to give. I want to tell you it's real when it happens. Generally, the ones that feel that the most are the ones you are closest to you. You've got nothing left to give. It's real. But in God, we have everything we need. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We have everything we need for life and godliness. There's not limited resources. Our God has unlimited resources. When we come to the end of everything, it's because we're trying to use our own resources and not realizing the resources we have in God. We need to come back to God. allow God to renew us again, to refresh us again, to fill us with love again. Well, the early salvationists talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a baptism of love, that the Holy Spirit fills us so much that we're just filled with love that just overflows to others. You can't help it. And if we're running out of love, if we find that we've got nothing left, then it's maybe time to come back and say, Holy Spirit, I need you again to fill me and to baptize me again. We come back to the well. We'll talk about the wells next week. We come back to the well. We come back to the resources that we need, not our own resources. As the songwriter says, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. We come back. I don't know what this passage means to you today. James would be disappointed if we just listened to it and walked out the door and nothing changed. Our theology should mean something. Maybe you have said you believe in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, but maybe you don't really. Yeah, and maybe it's a time to say, God, maybe I haven't quite grasped this deep in my heart. Maybe I haven't really believed that I am a child of God. Fill me with your Spirit again and remind me of who I am. Heal me of those hurts that everyone else can see that I desperately try to hide. Give me your love again that I might love fully. Maybe God's just put someone on your mind today to say, hey, you're supposed to be loving that person. And God's saying, go and do something about it. Go and show them love. I'm not sure what God's saying to you today, but please, in these next few moments, respond to God. You are his precious child. He loves you. And he wants you to be so filled with his love that you will love his children, all his children. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for all you have done in Jesus, that you have restored us in relationship with you, restored creation, restored our love for each other, that we may be your family. Help us to serve each other, to love each other as you have loved us. And when we have nothing left, fill us again with your love that we may truly love as you have loved.